Depression carries a stigma in many Christian circles. After all, shouldn't Christians have joy at all times? But even the Apostle Paul admitted in 2 Corinthians he had a time when he despaired even of life. Today we'll hear from Hannah, who after several life-altering events battled depression. Stay with us as we hear how God worked in her life during difficult times.
Oh, can't you see that grace carried me?
Hello, and welcome to another podcast of Carried by Grace. I'm your host, Mary Spoonhour. Today I have with me Hannah Felmet. And we were just saying she's from the beautiful state of Alabama, where it is warm, and Wisconsin is not. It's kind of bipolar, so it depends whatever mood it wants to be in today. And so we're kind of on opposite ends of the spectrum. But Hannah, we're so glad to have you with us today.
Thank you. I'm so glad to be here.
Hannah is a friend of a friend, and was so gracious to be willing to talk today. And we're going to talk on some pretty tough subjects. And so I don't think it'll be overly graphic, but if you have young kids in the room, it might be a good time not to have this on with them, maybe move them to another room or wait till another time. But we're going to talk about depression and suicide today and some of the things that the Lord has done in Hannah's life and allowed her to go through and hopefully be a blessing to others in the process. So Hannah, why don't you start us off and just tell us a little bit about yourself and get us into your story.
Okay. As you said, my name is Hannah Felmet. And we live down in Southern Alabama. This is not where either my husband or I are from originally. My husband grew up in Wisconsin, and I grew up in Pennsylvania. My dad was a pastor for all my growing up years. I guess there was a few years that he wasn't, that they worked for the camp ministry, but I just grew up in a pastor's home and saw that side of ministry. And I went to Maranatha Baptist University for college. And that's where I met my husband, and the Lord brought us together through singing in the choir there at Maranatha. Mm-hmm. After we got married, and this is, I think the Lord really started our story. I mean, both of us, when we were young, felt God touching our heart about mission, and we were both in third grade, and we didn't know, of course, we didn't know each other, but just always had that desire to serve in missions or serve the Lord full time from a very young age. And the Lord brought us together and we just prayed and were looking, but we didn't have any clear direction. My husband is an airplane mechanic, and he worked at the little airport in Watertown, and kind of right from the get-go, the Lord walked us through some difficult things. We lost our first baby right after we had gotten married. I'd gotten pregnant very quickly and then lost our first baby. The Lord allowed us to get pregnant again with my daughter in October. And she was a huge blessing and we were thrilled. And then our little Elsie, when she was 6 months old, started going through seizures, and she was diagnosed with generalized epilepsy. But we saw God work, and it really grew us together in the Lord and in our faith. We saw God provide a wonderful neuro, he wasn't a neurosurgeon, I can't think of the exact term, but he was fantastic, and he oversaw Elsie's care until miraculously he was like, she's not having any more episodes. We've done EEGs. We're going to try to wean her off the medication. And she was weaned off and she developed normally. That was their big concern, that she wasn't going to be able to speak or walk on time. And she did. And we just had to say to him and others that it was the Lord. We know it was the Lord who healed her. And she's She was absolutely fine. But that was all within that first year and a half of our marriage.
Wow.
And we made a move out to Pennsylvania. And it was in March of 2020 that my husband and I had read The Crucified Life by A.W. Tozier together as part of our devotional time together. And in the book, Tozier poses the question, are you willing to ask God to do whatever he has to do in your life so that at the end of your life, you've been made the most like the Lord Jesus Christ that is possible in your lifetime without full sanctification of being in heaven? And we sat and talked about it because on a flippant side, well, of course we want God to make us like Christ.
Right.
Of course we do. But when you really consider what that means, and that's what Tozier was trying to say, when you really consider what that means, whatever the Lord has to do,
mm-hmm.
I mean, that's kind of scary.
Mm-hmm.
And we sat with it, we prayed about it, and because we didn't want to lightly say, well, sure. And I remember the night that my husband and I just re-gave our lives to the Lord, and we said, okay, Father, whatever you have to do. Well, 2 weeks later, the world shut down with COVID.
Mm.
With the COVID, or it may have been a little bit longer after that. I can't remember. I just remember it kind of being 2 weeks. And we were kind of reeling. I was volunteering at the Christian school that was at the church that my parents were at. I was the speech and drama teacher. We were getting ready to do our big play. And everything shut down. And I just remember being like, oh my goodness, you know, all of a sudden you're stuck at home and you're alone. And then we had been in contact with a missions organization down in Alabama that trained missionary pilots. And we were getting ready to go visit the facility. And we had to push our visit off a little bit because of COVID, and they were shutting down states' borders, and, you know, not some of them were being funny with who could travel and who couldn't. And they had come back with an offer, and they said, we know you guys are coming down to train. That's what you're interested in. My husband needed a few more certifications before we could what they look for in pilots, in missionary pilots. You not only need your a license, but you need an instrument rating, which means you could fly at night or fly in clouds when you have to fly only by your instrument panel.
Mm-hmm.
You need your commercial pilot's license, which means you're able to fly others, and you could get paid to fly, and etc. There's lots of layers to it. My husband needed to finish those certifications. The group down in Alabama said, we would like to open a mechanics shop. Would you guys be interested in coming down and partnering with us and kind of helping us get the mechanics shop open? So we were going down to visit and pray about that possibility. We were able to go down in June and visit, and we both felt peace about it. We were excited, and so we began to plan this move down to Alabama. And about a month before we moved down, I was actually headed into the doctor's. I was nursing my youngest son. I had an infection. I'm headed to the doctor's. I have fever. I'm in pain. And I got a call from my dad, and he said, Hannah, when you get home, I need to tell everybody something. Would you let me know when you get home? And he hadn't been feeling well. And I called my husband right away. He was home with the babies because I was just so sick. And I said, I know it's not good. Mm-hmm. I had that feeling, you know, when the Holy Spirit mm-hmm. prepares you for something
yeah.
and you just start praying and you prepare your heart. And I know it's the Holy Spirit. I've seen him do it, you know, and so just preparing my heart. And we get home. And like I said, my dad had been pastoring this church. I think it was 27 years at the time. I can't remember exactly. And I was the oldest of seven children. There were seven of us. And my dad gets us all on this group phone call, and he says, I have cancer. Mm-hmm. And it was a very rare form of cancer. and it was rhabdo something sarcoma. And I can't remember. It was one of those big long names. But basically what we found out was my father was given about 3 months to live. It's a type of cancer that is very common in children and can be treated in children. But when adults get it, and that there were certain pinpoints they looked for, is it in your lymph nodes? Is it in your lungs? And pretty much once it developed into your lungs, there's no coming back. Mm-hmm. It was a 99% chance of dying. And we were shocked. My dad was, I don't know, you always think of your dad as just being this, oh, dad's gonna be around forever. Dad was our rock, you know? Mm-hmm. Dad was, mm-hmm. just adored my father. And this was a month before we're supposed to move. So my dad begins to seek treatment and second opinions. And I was like, I don't know if I want to move. I don't want to leave dad. And he had some other health scares, and all my siblings, we're all kind of spread out everywhere. We all got back together. And dad said to Jake and I really think if this is God's will for you to move, you need to go. Because, you know, this is what you're playing. And of course, Jake, we've been presenting in churches, and Jake had been preaching on that passage in Matthew about the man who puts his hand to the plow and looking back is not worthy. And then also the young man who said, first, Lord, let me go and bury my father, and then I will serve you. Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh, you had to be preaching on those passages.
Yeah, ouch. Yeah.
Did a lot of praying, and it was kind of like that thing where Dad felt like we needed to go. Jake had peace about it. Like, all right, here we go. So we had our sending off service at the church, our commissioning service. And I look back at that service. It's recorded. Thank the Lord we live in the day of recorded messages. Mm. And I can go back. And half those men that spoke to us are in heaven now for various reasons, and including my father. And they talked about, they said, you know, you're going to go through trials, and we even pray that God takes you through them, because that's how you're going to get to know the Lord in an intimate way. There's so many feelings as you're moving to a new state. None of our family is down here. My dad was sick and dying, and, you know, we moved down. It was, you know, we have two little kids. We move down, and we get into our home. We bought a house pretty much sight unseen, which I love it. I'm so thankful the Lord put us in the right place. And the week we move in, we have a hurricane, and we lose power for a week. And, you know, you're trying to move in, and you have little kids, and Jake was already trying to get a lot of work done. We were there probably a month, and my mom called and said, you got to come home. I think your dad's going to go to heaven. He's going to pass. So we went back home, and while we were there, we all got COVID, and we were so sick. Mm-hmm. The hospice nurse had it, and then we all had it, and so we're terribly sick. My father is dying, and I want to say that it was not the precious passing that you sometimes hear about with the saints. Mm-hmm. It was horrific to me, at least. It was not comforting. And I don't know that I questioned God as much as I just felt so hurt and even angry at what was going on and how people kind of treated us through it. And our church people were lovely and wonderful and so loving, and everyone was hurting, but there was just certain things. It was very, very difficult. And my father passed away right before my and it was right at my birthday. That's why I'm sorry, it's just there, I remember it. Mm-hmm. And it was right before Christmas, so we had his funeral. We went home. Well, we went back down to Alabama and then came right back up for Christmas. We didn't want my mom to be alone and through all that. So that was very hard. And we come back, and I was struggling. I was struggling physically. I had had a few issues. My body was not doing well. I was struggling emotionally. And I felt very alone down here. We knew one family, and they had their own things going on, and they weren't attentive to us. Again, I'm not blaming them. They just had their own thing, and they weren't really friends or support. We were in a little tiny church, and I had asked one of the ladies in the church, she was an older lady, she had been a pastor's wife, and I said, would you please have a Bible study with me? I'm just struggling. I'm so alone. And she said to me, you need to get used to being alone, especially in ministry. And that devastated me. Mm-hmm. I was so crushed. I was hurting. And it was around that time that I had my first anxiety attack. And I called my sister. I said, I think I'm having a heart attack because I couldn't breathe. My heart hurt so badly. My chest was tight. I was trying not to pass out. I was laying on the floor. Everything was dizzy. And I was so scared. And I called my sister. I couldn't get a hold of my husband. And I said, I think I'm having a heart attack. Should I call 911? And she had had a panic attack before. An anxiety attack. And she said, I think this is what it is. Let's breathe together. And I think you can get through it. And I did. Mm. But that was the first one. And then it just, everything kept snowballing. And that was part of it, is it was just kind of trial on top of trial on top of trial. We had an electrical fire in our house. And thank the Lord, it was contained and caught very quickly. But that was traumatic. You know, we just did and yeah. We were. And then a few weeks later we had a tornado, and the tornado came right at the house. And I had never gone through a tornado. I'm from Pennsylvania. I think we had one my whole growing up years, and it wasn't even close to our house. But I see how the Lord protected us. And my husband wasn't able to get home in time, and I laid over our children in the bathtub with a mattress over us, and I, you know, you could hear the tornado coming. And I just said, Lord, if we're going to heaven, take us quickly. Don't let it be painful. And the tornado turned right before our home and went across the road. And when I went outside, I could see all the trees down. And I have pictures of it. They were all in a circle around our home. Not one had fallen on our home. Mm. And I said to the kids, I said, I think the Lord just put his hand over us, mm-hmm. and protected us. All our neighbors' houses had damage or were gone, and ours was the only one. And I know the Lord just protected us and was there for us. And I see that. But again, it was very traumatic. It was very traumatic. 2 weeks later, I found out that I was pregnant, and we had been trying to get pregnant. We have three living children, and I have three babies in heaven. But this was my, this was my fifth pregnancy, and I was so excited because I said, Jake, this is it. God has been hearing my prayers. This baby is that answer to my prayer of my hurting, lonely heart. This is it. And I went in for my first appointment at 6 weeks, and it looked okay. They said, well, we're not sure of a few things. We want to bring you back in a couple weeks. And I was like, okay. I was kind of nervous. But, you know, sometimes you just know. And in the pit of my stomach, I was like, oh, my baby's gone, or something's wrong. I'm going to lose the baby. And a few weeks went by. I guess I should have been 8 weeks. And I was measuring 6 weeks, and a few more weeks went by. They wanted to wait. And I said to Jake, I was just really struggling. I was just deeply hurting. And I had begun to have, I had another really bad panic. I don't know if they were panic versus anxiety. I can tell you there's a difference. I'm not sure which was which, but I was starting to have these attacks. And I said to my husband, I don't know if I can believe in God if this baby is dead, because this is just too much. It's too many things. And he said, honey, we only have God. And we kind of left it there. And I went to the doctor, and sure enough, the baby had died. Mm-hmm. And I was supposed to be 12 weeks. And I was just crushed. And I called my mom on the way home. My parents had lost 5 children, 5 babies. And my mom just prayed with me and cried with me and shared the gospel with me. You know, I mean, just reminding me of the truth of the gospel. And I started losing the baby. And I won't be too graphic. I started losing the baby, and I did not, most of them were just, you go through the, almost like a labor, and you pass the baby, and that's that. But I did not stop with this one. I continued to bleed for 6 weeks. And I called the doctor and I said, I don't think this is normal. I was in so much pain. I could not stand up. And I just was, again, we were all alone. I had called a few people. Nobody could come help. I think my mom came for like a weekend, which was a blessing. She was coming down from Pennsylvania. But I just wasn't getting better. And, I wasn't able to get to church. I was just, again, I just really was struggling. I was having these panic attacks, and I was not doing well. And I had also begun to experience the beginnings of the very deep depression and despair. I was just so broken. Mm-hmm. And I can't even tell you all the things now, but in my mind, and I journaled a lot. I can look back and just see, again, it was little trial after little trial after, whether it was the van breaking down or something breaking in the house or the kids being, they were so sick that whole first year. I was so, so broken. I finally, with the help of a nurse who was a friend of mine, she's a pastor's wife and a nurse, and she said, Hannah, you either go demand to be seen or go to the emergency room. So I went, and I am not a good advocate for myself. I'm very much a people pleaser, and the Lord has worked on me on that. I don't want to cause ripples or cause stress, but I went and I stood my ground and I said, I will be seen, or I'm going right over to the emergency room. And sure enough, I was so scared, but the Lord gives you strength. And I went. And sure enough, there were complications, and I needed to have surgery. And they said, well, we can get you in for surgery the next day. So, okay, we're heading in for surgery. And it may seem a little thing, but we could not find anyone to watch our children. So my husband dropped me off at the hospital and then went to take care of our children. Mm. And I was all alone, and I was so terrified. The only surgery I've ever had was on my wisdom teeth. And I was like, I don't know what to expect. I've never been in the hospital by myself. But the Lord gave me the most wonderful nurse. She was such a blessing. She came in. She prayed with me. She had lost several children. And she just taught. She held me. We cried together. And the Lord, I think the Lord sent an angel. She was wonderful. And I wasn't alone through that. She was there, and the Lord was there. Well, the surgery was supposed to fix everything, but it did not. I continued to bleed uncontrollably and be in a lot of pain. And I really began crying out to God, just heal me. I know you can take this away. I went to that story of the woman and I'm not going to remember the exact book because, but the woman who had the issue of blood who touched the garment of Jesus and it healed her, and she had faith. And I said, Lord, if I could just be that woman and touch you. And I hadn't even been bleeding 12 years, but it was so horrible. But nothing changed. I continued to try to see the doctor, and we were trying medications. And this is where I kind of settled in to that depression, and I was having constant anxiety attacks. I was not sleeping. I was having horrible nightmares, and even I don't know if I would call them hallucinations or if they were just very vivid nightmares. But I was a mess. I was all over the place. I was having horrible anger where I told Jake, I said, I feel like I'm stepping out of my body and watching myself lose my mind. Mm. And I said, it was so weird. I'm not usually someone with such a temper. It was just very it was not normal for me. And I just settled into this terrible despair and this terrible loneliness. And it felt like every time I tried to ask for help, I was rebuffed. And I didn't have any help with the children. My husband was working crazy long hours trying to help them get this started. And I began to plan my first suicide attempt. Because in my mind, and I've heard all the things people say, suicide is the most selfish thing you can do. Depression is the most selfish thing because you're all about yourself. But I tell you, in my mind, as messed up as it was, I thought this was the best thing. My children were living with an emotional, angry, depressed mother. I couldn't get off the couch. I had no energy. I was bleeding all the time. I couldn't take them out to play. I could barely cook. I was horrible. And I thought, this isn't fair. This isn't fair to them. Mm-hmm. And this isn't fair to my husband. I was not there for him. And he was tired and discouraged as well. And I had nothing to give. I was so broken. And I was having, like I said, these anxiety attacks, these panic attacks. They would last so long. And I couldn't sleep. And I had actually mentioned this to my doctor, and she gave me a prescription for an antidepressant. Well, then I couldn't take it. The first time I tried to take it, I had a full-blown panic attack and ended up throwing up. And I was like, I can't do this, because I had heard that this is wrong, mm-hmm. that this is spiritual. You can't do this. This is going to take you away from God. And I will tell you, at this time, I was reading my Bible like I had never read my Bible before. I had godly music on all the time. I was trying. I was asking God, if there's sin, take the sin away, reveal it. I confess it. Whatever it is, take it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I asked him for healing. I begged for healing, and nothing changed. And so I was like, well, I think I need to go to heaven, because I cannot imagine living the rest of my life this way. And this isn't fair to my husband or my children. And our pastor at the time at this little church had brought a book over to me. He was angry at us for not being at church. Hmm. Jake tried to explain to him, my wife can't even move. Like, she can barely walk in the house. So he sent a book over and highlighted a section for me to read, and I'll never forget it. It said, I will not give the author, he's a well-known Christian author, but it said, if you are struggling with depression, then you are in sin, because depression is sin. And I just was, again, it's this crushing despair, and you kind of settle into a numbness. You don't care anymore. You don't care. I didn't care. I was so hurt. I was so out of my mind. And that's truly what it was. I was out of my mind. I had no idea. Well, I couldn't make decisions. I couldn't think. I couldn't sleep. And I planned my first attempt out, and I was ready to go. I had the day picked. I was going to send a text to my husband and say, you need to come home. I was going to send the kids out to play. And I had everything ready, and I was laying on the floor in our bathroom, looking up through our little window, and I cried out to God one last time. And I said, God, if you're there, if you even exist, and you have a plan for my life, then you better intervene and save me, because I'm going to end it.
On our next podcast, we'll find out more about Hannah's story of her ongoing battle with depression and eager search for God's help. If you know of someone who has a story of God's amazing grace working in her life through hardship, we would love to hear from you at carriedbygracepodcast@gmail.com. Join us again next time as we continue to grow and are carried by grace.
Oh, can't you see that grace carried me?